Hello, you are listening to Type Radio. My name is Lopez from Büro Destrukt. Now we are talking.
Type Radio.
Hello, you're still listening to Type Radio. My name is Heywit and now we're talking.
Hello. This is Type Radio. Now we're talking.
Hello, you're listening to Type Radio. My name is Donald.
I'm Lisa.
We're in Bern at the offices of Büro Destrukt. It's October 16, 2009. And we're here with Lopez and Harry.
We would like to ask you if you're religious.
We had recently a discussion about religion because in Swiss there is an election about the minaret. I don't know if you know this.
I read something in a paper.
And this poster is like really controversial at the moment. And then we ended up to say religion is actually a bad thing because it's something that people say this is the thing and this is not. And they try to get the people to your religion. But I think for myself is that every person has a God or something inside or up there somewhere. And I think it's up to any person to choose his style of religion. So,
do you feel the same way?
I'd say I grew up in a Christian dominated environment and that affected me somehow.
In the way you work?
I didn't choose it on my own.
But did you have a hard time? Did you have to break away from it?
No. But I quit the church recently instead of marrying my girlfriend. So we have something in common now.
Do you have rituals?
Smoking and cigarettes and coffee is a ritual. No, not really.
It's not like a joint ceremony that you do every morning.
There is a ritual in summertime, actually, swimming the river. So the whole office is like swimming down the river and having lunch in a small...
Every day?
At least it is
every day
warm.
When it's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. And is it a race?
No, it's not a race.
No?
Are you competitive?
Are you competitive?
They saw the questions. Yeah. Isn't it cold, even in summer?
It's about 16 or 17 or 18 degrees normally. But this summer was actually really good. It was about 20 or more.
But are you competitive then? Between each other? Or?
I'd say so, but we're a team as well.
Yeah, I think the competition between us is always like inspiring things. So if somebody's working on something and the other see it, and then maybe he brings in some ideas from his side, and in the end it's like a co-production, but I don't see it as a hard competition or something. We never had some fights for clients or something. Mm.
And how does the decision-making process go? Is there one who like has the say over one project and say, okay, everybody wants pink, but I think green is better, so we make it green, for instance? Or is it not like that? Is it just like evolving?
Yeah, it depends on the work we're doing. Mostly we're working separately, directly with clients. Mm-hmm. But for bigger projects, we're working together. And then there we try to find the solution that is really is the best fit for the whole team and also for the client, of course.
But do you criticize each other's work or
of
not?
Of course, yeah.
All the time.
That helps a lot.
Yeah. Quite
it's an important
hard
thing.
To each other, so
otherwise you could work on your own and slap on your shoulders as a ritual every morning. Well, it's a good thing to receive some feedbacks from others besides you and people that always say yes, you did a good job. Yes, you did a good job. That doesn't help you that much. It's good to be criticized, I'd say.
It sounds like you're married, but has your relationship changed over the years? Is it
half of us is not married, but in a family status, with kids, mm-hmm. so on. Yeah.
That changes things.
That changes, yeah, that changes the rituals. Or it adds rituals that, yeah, that are natural.
But does it change your work, you think? Mm.
It's difficult to say. No, I don't think so. Maybe there is an inspiration coming from myself, from my son, like things that I wouldn't observe or watching that suddenly came into my life like a present. But it's more like changing the working times. Before I was more like sleeping in the morning until midday and working into the night, like an open-end thing, even sleeping in the office. But that's something that totally changed. But it's also good. So you change yourself, your rhythm and anything. It's part of flexibility somehow.
And I don't know if this must be a conscious thing. How is the Bureau de Schlucht, the style defined? How you go about that? Like, is that by accent? You just got together by accent? Or is it really you chose each other?
Yeah, it actually began with going together to the school, to the art school, three of us.
That's where you met?
That's where we met, and that's where we met the same interests, like drawings, comics, art was like the topic, and music. And then,
And when was
so it grows? Yeah, it's more than 50 years for sure. So it's about 20 years.
20 years ago? Yeah. So that feels like quite a long time.
So it's like the late 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And we studied graphic design actually without any computer. So everything was handmade. So painting and drawing the typefaces as a Dido or a Bodoni by hand with a Reisfeder. I'm not sure what's the English word for it. But it was training by drawing, actually.
So you all learned the old school way, the pre-digital way of
Yeah, at
designing.
Least three of us. I'm like, I came somewhere in.
Mm. How did you come in then?
We met each other occasionally. We did like VJing together. We met at parties. I was doing like 3D artwork already before. And we also met in the same computer store.
Yeah, it was the Commodore Amiga computer store, the one and only small shop in Bern. And I think there we met each other and talking about the graphic design software.
It was the computer
like
dealer that brought us together.
Deluxe Paint, yeah.
Deluxe Paint. We're still using it for...
You still have one?
Yeah.
Because mine died, I think, like yeah. 2 years ago. It's like
no, ours is still good working. Wow. And we also... did a bit customized it and make it more fast for doing visuals at parties with a gene lock, and that's really fits super for us.
Oh yeah, maybe it was a graphical playground, like you could do like colorful graphics,
also.
You could animate
more like
them.
Experimenting things that you never would do on paper or something like this, and animation as well. So DeepPaint is not only a painting program; it's also like frame by frame animations. That's maybe, it's part like the animated GIFs or whatever, or Flash. Even there was a Flash before on Amiga. It was a, what was the name, FantaVision. It was a vector-based animation tool that exactly did the thing as the first Flash.
Were there any women that tried to join the group? Or
there was a woman in the very beginning. There was like... You were actually four.
We were four in the beginning from the school. It was also a friend of us in the school.
And what happened to her?
She didn't feel well with four guys. And also the style. She was more into art. So her style was really clearly it's her style. And that was sometimes a bit problem in the team. Because in our team, it's not like this is typical him or this is typical dad or whatever. It's more like the whole together output that is important, not the names behind the projects. It's also like in the books, we're not signing the work or don't write who made it from us.
It's always the Bureau District.
Yeah, it's better to have to focus on one name than separate it somehow.
So if it's a sort of ideology that you think that in years to come, then would more people join and others would leave? It's sort of a way of thinking, you think?
Yeah, actually we are open to new people, but we like to keep it small and simple, you know. The more you get, the more administration and more problems you get. But we had recently one person staying for 1 or 2 years, but then he left because he had other ideas and other ways to go. But we do not employ. It's like either you are a member or you're an intern or nothing.
But are you now, it's what, the new Swiss design? Because earlier you said you were sort of parallel to Adrian Frutiger.
That's what the media says from us or our publisher and so. And
actually, we were quite, we catched an interesting moment when after like doing everything by hand, then these computers came into the graphic designer's life. Was exactly the moment when we started to work, and we got hold on those new tools and published a lot of work by this. So this was a kind of new output from Switzerland in graphic design.
Mm. Yeah, it was also the same time the internet, and there we started really early to publish our fonts, free fonts, on the website in a very naive way at that time, and the technology was not that like today, but we had it already done. So, and then the font spread all over the world.
Why did you decide to put them up and to give them away to other people? What was the idea behind that?
Because we don't want them to be alone. It's good to have.
That's so sweet.
To have them shared. Yeah, it's like, yeah. What should I? It's just sitting on my hard disk, so it doesn't serve anybody.
Okay, you have 2 minutes to name every single font.
Every single font
in your catalog.
Is that enough of time?
3 minutes.
3 minutes. How it's about 100.
It's 160 fonts.
Yeah, 1 second. Yeah.
No, we have the list here. We haven't read it out because
you can visit them and read. Yeah, it's on the web.
And do you still develop typefaces? Still develop
yeah.
fonts?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
And is it also always specifically for a project that starts the?
It depends on the mood and the manner and whatever. It's like sometimes a font is coming from a logo type we did, or inverse, like we did a font just for us, and then out of this we created a logo, or it's just it's just something when you see a logo in another country or just a shape. It inspires you to involve that form into more symbols. We're looking at fonts more like images, actually. It's not like that we're trying to make a font like Helvetica or Frutiger. It's not in our target. We're more into experimenting and trying out having forms involved to a new symbol collection. Mm. And that's also why we called the type different.
And have you ever been involved in graffiti?
No, the fonts more or less, it's like to put a mood of a form or a shape into a font. It's also a way to conserve this mood or the form into a usable product in the end that may overlast for some time.
It's actually a toolbox.
Conserving the forms or the mood of some writing. Most of our fonts are display fonts. It's only a few of them are like
could be used as a text font.
Text font. Yeah.
Now, so I'm also asking because you are stretching legibility just within a certain system that people are able to read the word images. Yeah. And graffiti has the same thing. It sort of takes a certain way of looking at it to decipher it. Mm-hmm. It's not as extreme because you really are more communicative, you could say.
Yeah. I think that's a really interesting point to have that. It's like if you're standing on a mountain and if you fall on the left side, you're in the readability, and on the right side, you're in the total experiment. And we like to walk on the top of the mountain. That is to find the balance somehow.
That's a very Swiss thing to say, to walk on the top of a mountain.
Yeah, if you tell it to Dutch guys.
Normally, we always see them from the bottom, you know. It's like something that you...
You wish you were on top.
Yeah.
I mean, you said that you really caught the wave in the 90s with the internet. But now, are people having a harder time, or is it easier for... students,
the possibilities are much bigger, but there's a lot more of amount around you which you cannot it's really hard to stand out today, I guess, for people starting something.
Do you have a hard time? Is it harder to stand out?
Of course, we have competition.
Yeah. But no. More so than before, or?
Hard to judge?
It's a really difficult question. Of course, we feel the whole financial problems.
The recession.
The recession. But we never look at competitors.
Yeah, we're not that competitive, like, let's hit the market, let's go this direction, because I see the gap, we have to go there. Mm-hmm. We more like tend on design things that we like. And if somebody else likes them too, then it's a good idea for them to ask us to do something for them. That's what we did with our books. We published a great bunch of our output, showed it to the world, and from time to time somebody calls and wants something in that mood for himself.
You started basically coming out of college, out of the sort of the underground music scene, giving you an opportunity to make flyers and things. You made a step towards bigger commercial, more commercial clients. Was that a hard step for you to make, or that also went really organically?
Yeah, it's like a flowing step. It's like the age of us. It's like the same clients, we made flyers for them. They are coming with bigger projects now because they are also getting older and are in another field.
Environment.
Environment. Mm. It's the way of life.
Yeah. So there's basically no difference between, you still work for the same people, but they work in bigger companies, or?
That's an example, yeah. It's like, yeah, the environment is changing with us. So we don't see there some typical steps or something like that.
And it's also, do you have, if you work for these clients, because you work for them for a long time, that also makes life easier for the both the client and you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it needs less words. It's like self-understanding issue.
I think relationship to the people you're working for is very important, and we like to keep small, also because of this, to not get big and having people that just doing this or this. We like to have to work with the client directly, talking with him and thinking about his project, and like was heißt Beratung? Consulting, and doing the thing. So it's a one line, not like a tick tock.
Do they also say, "Come, oh, I know you can do better. Can you come back with something else?"
Yeah, of course. There are also. Sometimes it's really difficult sometimes, yeah. But in general, we are quite...
And also you decide to open a shop, right?
Zurich, yeah. We have a small shop and gallery where we sell like graphic-related products, a lot of books, characters, also posters. There are exhibitions that take place. And it's actually run by our founder, Fidel. HGB Fidelius. The shop is called Bureau Discount, yeah, and we have a small website where you can check what's on in Bureau Discount.
This is the promotion now. BureauDiscount.net,
yeah.
And how come you decided to open up a shop like that? Like,
it was mainly Fidel's idea.
Yeah, it's because we started as a promotion of young artists. So we always had a gallery in the beginning, a small room in a cellar, mm-hmm, of the old part of Bern, the small ones. And there we had exhibitions with different Bernese young artists. And Fidel was always more related to the art scene than to graphic design, what we are doing now. So it was based on his wish and on his idea to run a gallery in Zurich. And then we thought, yeah, it would be good to focus the thing also on graphic design, because graphic and art is like, it's again the situation of the mountain on top, falling art, falling design. And that's why we opened that small shop.
And what are your influences? I mean, in Bern, yeah, I don't know very much, but it seems quite, it is quite quiet, right?
Yeah, that's a good thing, actually, to live and work. Because you are...
Can you think when it's really loud around you?
You listen to music, right?
No. Yeah, but then it's self-chosen noise. I think it's not a bad thing to have some quietness around you.
Have you ever considered to move to a bigger city? Or
no.
And Japan? That seems to be...
Yeah, Japan is an interest, a special interest from my side. And I'm also married to a Japanese wife. But I always realize when I'm in Tokyo, I really like it to be there. But after 2-3 weeks, I feel really fed up of this. And I like to go there and stay, but I also like to come back here. So it's a good contrast between the small local city and the big major town.
And what is the fascination with Japanese design and culture?
In the beginning, it was the shapes, the graphic shapes, just like signs or symbols that you can't read or you don't need to read, but they are like a visual impact that really inspired me a lot.
But you can you read them now?
Now I can read parts of Japanese, but not the complex kanji, just the katakana and hiragana.
But it's you specifically, and you're...
Every one of us has been at least once in Japan, and if you haven't been there, it's very exotic, I would say. If you drop in somewhere in Japan, especially in one of the big towns like Kyoto, Tokyo, or other dense towns, then you're quite overwhelmed by what you see and what you experience, and it's easy to get around. People are friendly, and they do as we do here, like quality. They are very precise and tend to perfectness. And this is something in common between the two countries, I would say.
And in design, what is communal about the way the people design?
The similarities.
Yeah, the graphic, uh-huh, the similarities between Japanese, yeah, and Swiss design.
I think it's the quality thinking and also the preciseness. I think they have kind of same school somehow of taking the thing really serious about typographics and colors. And so it's also really based on grit.
What are your heroes? Are the people you look up to in design?
Really heroes where we are doing the study. We had really heroes like Brody, Neville Brody, and Designers Republic. Egon Schiele was a hero for me. But I think the older you get, the more you lose the heroes somehow, the focus on heroes. It's like, I wouldn't say I have a hero now.
And why is that?
Maybe you find your own way a little bit better than before, because you are looking more on all sides of the street. And maybe now we are having found our road. That's maybe a reason. And
what I think is funny is that you mentioned Neville Brody and Designers Republic, and those people are not really that much older than you are. You would expect heroes to be You know, like Frutiger or people of that age.
When we were like, I would say, below 20, they maybe were over 20, and they did this first step to produce work for the world, maybe 5 years before us. So it was possible for us to look at them, like other people maybe nowadays that are in school, look at us. Because when you're in school, you're not like producing for the world and show your work in the whole world. So it's also a matter of opportunities that you can look at. You look for some people that you admire, and it must be something that's at least slightly older. Yeah,
I would say they are all about 10 years older than us, and I think at that time when you are 20, these 10 years, they make so much. Also for us, when we started with 20, being independent designers and so, and I think 10 years later we were on a totally different place on the road.
Do you think a design then is ageist?
No, it's just like you were asking for like heroes that we were looking at, and I think heroes that you're looking at, it's something you search when you are younger. Like you have the need for teachers. Somehow, and you need something that you can use to find your way of life somehow, and an image where that shows you a kind of possible way to go for. But when you're older, you have also the opportunity to look back, and you tend to look back a little bit more when you're older, because there is more space in the back than when you are 20. There's just one way, like look in the future. And when you're 80 probably, you still can look in the future, but there is more space in the past, I would say.
Well, if I look at your work, then I think also kids that are 20 or 18, 19, 23, they're also very inspired by it. How do you also think, that's what I'm curious about. In a way, like if you're 60, can you still relate to somebody that's 20? I don't know. I know you're not 60, but I don't. There is also quite a. At some point, there is a age. There's a generation gap.
Mm.
And when you're designing, can you always be able to skip that, to see past that?
Well, you
I don't
can.
Know.
Also, when you're 60, you can still think it's good for you to run on a three-wheel bike.
Yeah, I know, but
and
that's
enjoy it.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I wonder.
But when you're a kid, you probably want to run on a two-wheeled bike, and this is your main goal. But it doesn't have to say that you keep on rolling on these two-wheeled bikes. You still can if you like it more. You can you know more when you're older. You have more choices. You have more experience. You are more free to switch, probably even.
But you're more even more restricted. I don't know. Sometimes like if I speak to people that are much older, they start saying I can't do this and I can't do that anymore, because they know a lot more.
Well, this is a matter of becoming older. There's a saying like the older you become, there are much more things, much less things that you do for the first time, but there are much more things that you do for the last time.
But do you think that would apply to design then?
No, I wouldn't say so. You can still, because like if there are things that you just can't do physically anymore when you grow older. But like designing, it's not like a physical exercise. You can design whatever you want even when you are almost dead.
No, but sometimes I hear the question, where do all the designers go after they're 60? Like you never, they...
Back to school. As a teacher or something, that's
or they open a bed and breakfast.
Why not?
No, I'm. I know.
I was also. I was thinking to open a nice coffee shop in Japan with my wife. It doesn't need to be design all the time, but it will end up in design there, because I will do the logo for that coffee shop. I will do all the menu cards and things like that. It's just one idea. But I think we cannot skip that, because it's part of our life, and we don't think about we are now getting older and why we do this. It looks like something for 16 years old people. It also depends on the work or on the client you're working for.
I'd say we have the freedom to continue working the way as we always work, because like it's not like we're not like I would say like hired to a company and then get retired at a certain age and then receive our pension and that's it and have to find something else to do in life. As a self-employed, you have the freedom to continue working as you like or to stop working as you like. Out of school, you have a profession, you get married, you have kids,
yeah.
You work, you get retired, you get your pension, that's it.
That's not it. Well, is that what you expected?
No, that was like the normal way of life that was proposed to everybody who got born in a like well-structured society. But it's not like this anymore. Everything is possible. Like I recently read something in the newspapers, like they asked themselves whether they should do playgrounds for elderly people. Like for kids, because it's good if they move, they move a little bit, they go out, they meet other people, and this gets mixed up, and they think it's a good thing.
No, I agree with you.
But you have to choose your way on your own. This makes it more difficult.
You know, it's only one generation before that was really following these rules.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now you see all the other options.
Yeah.
It's the internet, it's like in any kind of business or work, you see what's next to you or what the Japanese are doing, whatever. So you have much more solutions and opportunities to take. The more the biggest difficulty is to choose the right one from that big selection. That's what can make confuse. But as for example my when I started graphic design, my boss, not boss, my teacher or he was 70 years old, and he's still coming to his studio every morning at 7 until 6, like fixed time, and I did there my study. So he was really working until he died. And he's kind of similar person like Adrian Frutiger. With the same attitude and
it becomes less of a job than more like it's intertwined with your life. It's who you are.
Exactly.
It sort of defines you as a person. I have another question. You also have a very long-lasting relationship with Die Gestalten, the publishing house.
Mm-hmm.
How did you start working with them or like doing projects for them?
It was because of one of the first books they did. After that techno sampler,
mm-hmm.
they did a small book called Flyer Mania, and it was a collection about flyers from the German-speaking parts in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And there we had a quite big submission for them. And they included also quite a lot of them, and then we got a fax. I think it was a fax sent by them if we like to do a book. Then we were really happy and really astonished to do a book about our work. It was one of our big goals and targets, and we never expected that it was coming so quickly after settling together to a company.
That was a milestone. People always ask us, what is a milestone in your history? This was, I would say...
Should we ask that question? Yeah. What is the milestone in your... No.
Well, now it's together after the answer.
And but practically, what did change when the book came out? And did you find something that really changed in the way clients approached you or people approached you?
The new clients came because the book was published worldwide. So suddenly people were taking note of us, not only like in Bern. So... But in the whole world, that changed. We had to talk in English from then on.
Really?
You changed the website to English.
No, it was between you, you spoke in English.
No, that's not the case. But it's different when you have a phone call to your neighbor or like to somebody who's like overseas. That's somehow changed. It was a kind of.
Did you receive fan mail?
Yeah. We had quite a lot of mails at that time. Also, a lot. We still have a lot of mails from people who like to do an internship.
And do you take in people?
We take once or twice once a year, more or less. Actually, once a year.
In summer,
one or two pairs.
When it's possible to go to the river.
When they can wear swimsuits and check them out.
That's the thing.
And for how long are they in?
3 months. More
3 months, yeah. Okay.
And they normally they do a font here. It's like part of the
That's one of their tasks here.
The tasks, and most people, they want to learn that as well. So it's quite a good work.
Like regularly you find remixes of typefaces that you did, done by other...
Yeah, that's mostly the free fonts. Some of them are inspiring others. And it really, it actually started with a remix project I was doing with a Japanese designer, which I didn't know before. But I saw his Japanese fonts on in a German graphic design magazine, and then I was contacting him with the idea to make a Japanese katakana font version of one of my font, and I will do an alphabet for one of his katakana fonts. And that was also one of the reasons why we went to Japan and meet those peoples, and that gave us the opportunity to do that Narita inspected book, because we came into a really funny graphic design scene in Tokyo, and people are talking about them, and then I thought it's really interesting to show that stuff here in Europe or in America, because at that time the internet was not so popular, and the works were not like going over the borders. So,
and then you proposed this idea to Digashantan?
That was I just said to the publisher, it's an idea, and then he really pushed me and set a deadline already at the same moment to do, and then I had a hurry up.
Oh shit!
Yeah, I didn't want that.
The final question? How would you like to be remembered?
Good.
Would be great if some how do you call them, these people that bury in the sand
time capsule.
No. If like how they found the Egypt.
Oh,
the
a mummy.
Hieroglyphs. Oh. If somebody finds our design somewhere and tries to find out what we would have wanted to say with them, that would be funny. Tries to interpret our way of communication, which is mainly in graphical terms.
Thank you very much for this conversation.
You're welcome.
Thank you as well.
Thank you. You're coming. Die, die, die. Radio.